This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Welcome to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm your host, Corey Fleck, and I have some special news to announce that my wife and I have had our little baby girl. We are very excited, but I am taking a little bit of time off, really no more than a week. I have Chris Temple filling in for me throughout the week, doing daily editorials to keep the website up to date and to keep all of you informed. But for this weekend edition, I will be posting some of the more listened to segments from earlier this year. Thank you, everybody, and I hope that you do enjoy some of the best of segments of the KE Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition. In this segment, happy to report that I am joined by Dana Lyons. He is the fund manager based out of Chicago, and Dana joins me on a regular basis to discuss usually the broad markets and some of the internals behind what's going on in the U.S. markets and some of the international markets. But in this segment, we are going to divert a little bit because as we are talking off mic, I asked Dana what he thought of the commodities complex in general, and his comments of they're strong overall really stuck with me because we've been talking about this on a regular basis. But again, Dana doesn't just focus on commodities or resources. He focuses on a wide range of markets. So Dana, let's get your general comments. Commodities, as you said, strong in general. What are some of the ones that are standing out to you?
I think you'd have to start with, first and foremost, crude oil, which has broken out above recent highs and looks like it has even further room to run. And, of course, we always start out with the general broader commodity indices like the CRB index or the GSCI commodity index. And they have, of course, heavy weightings in crude oil. So much of the movement there is directed by crude. And with crude oil breaking out and looks like it has room to run higher, commodities in general look like they have more room to the upside as well. So then you take it from there. You have base metals moving higher, industrial metals, copper and the like still hitting higher highs. So for the general commodity complex, things look pretty strong, especially after clearing those former peaks from 2016-2017. So in the near term, looks like more upside for commodities.
Okay, so Dana, yes, you're right. Oil continues to break higher, even in the face of, again, lack of any real bullish news, at least in my eyes. Base metals, industrial metals, those continue to perform quite well. Maybe we will get some more infrastructure spending talk coming shortly. That's what I'm expecting. But we are seeing, again, even precious metals move up, but they're not at breakout pattern yet. So are you getting excited about this area of the commodity complex?
Not really. I think we're reasonably confident that gold stocks, miners, gold miners probably put in a major longer-term low back at around the beginning of 2016. As far as the commodities themselves, we're not as confident that a long-term gold or silver bottom is in. Basically, we've been in basically a trading range for the last 2 years or so. So we're moving up currently in silver and gold towards the top of that range, or at least towards the upper end of the long-term downtrend lines that have been in place for several years since the peaks back in 2010, 2011. So, like you said, they've basically been in a trading range for several years and just towards the top of that range right now. So, no, we can't get too excited that this move higher is going to lead to a more substantial substantive a rise in precious metals. It's more like a rally up to resistance at this point. So it could prove us wrong that it could break out and suggest a longer term up move. But until it does prove us wrong, it just looks like a move towards the top of the range.
Okay. Well, Dana, we will, again, continue to follow up on some of these calls. But talking about how the commodities are doing better, especially some of the base metals and oil, how much of this is a factor of, again, a pretty depressed and struggling U.S. dollar?
We don't typically like to ascribe reasons for moves necessarily. We just like to follow the price action, but it's hard to ignore the coincident move down in the dollar in recent weeks or months after attempting to bottom back in September, I believe, in the dollar index off that 91 level. We wanted to see it hold about the 92.5 level, which is now broken down. So that opens up back another test of that 91 level. Again, alongside that weakness in the dollar has seen this reemergence in the commodities. So I don't think it's not necessarily something we assign a direct relationship to, but certainly that correlation is there. And if certainly if that 91 level in the U.S. dollar does not hold, then we could see, in our view, we could see a significant further downside in the dollar, and that would likely mean a pretty sizable further upside in commodities.
Yeah, there's a lot of air below that 91 level on the dollar index. And even though, you know what, the break earlier or later in 2017 and about September when we did break below about 92, that was, in all fairness, a break below that range that it had been trading in. Now we're looking at this 91 level. What are your thoughts on if it will be able to hold here?
I have no idea if it will or not. We'll follow along with everybody else. I would say, like you mentioned, if it does not hold, if we do see it, the dollar fail at that 91 level and hold below it, I'd say maybe a move down closer to that 87 level would probably be the first major support that we might see. So, again, that would conversely mean a pretty nice move higher in the euro, for one, and likewise, like we mentioned, probably significant further upside in much of the commodity complex.
Okay, so even with commodities doing well, the U.S. dollar struggling, the U.S. markets are continuing to do very well. Volatility remains low. Even the RIDEX bullish-bearish ratio is at a record high. And yes, it can stay at these record highs, but what similarities are you seeing between the start of last year and the start of this year in, I guess, risk-on assets? It seems people are still piling in.
Yeah, I mean, 2018 has started just like 2017 ended, and much of 2017, the entire year in the U.S. equity market and global equity market, continue to see higher prices in stocks in the U.S. and around the globe, including emerging markets that we've been talking about. They've started out very strong to start 2018. Additionally, you have developed markets like Europe bouncing off key support where they needed to hold. Germany, you have the FTSE in the UK breaking out to all-time highs. Now you have the Nikkei in Japan spiking by 3% yesterday to multi-decade highs, I believe. So you have global equities in general are still, without a doubt, in an uptrend. You know, higher highs, higher lows, that type of thing. Until that stops, there's no reason to really fight it. And plus, we have breadth measures, internals, still supporting the rally. So in the intermediate term, we have no reason to suspect any significant danger of that uptrend ending. Now, like you mentioned, the RIDEX ratio, the ratio of bullish to bearish assets in RIDEX mutual funds is at an all-time high. It's just spiked. For example, the previous peak over the last 10 years was about 13-1 in the favor of bullish assets, the bearish assets. That was in that near the top in 2015. It spiked up to about 20-1 in recent days. So we're seeing basically a buying orgy in bullish assets and basically everyone bailing out of the bearish assets. So from a short-term standpoint, we're finally seeing some froth enter the market. It would not be surprising to see over the next few weeks or month some consolidation, some give back of gain, any further gains that are made here.
All right, Dana, always great chatting with you. Thanks again for sharing some of your insights on actually a wide range of markets that we touched on. Always interesting to hear what you have to say, and I always follow along with your comments closely. So, Dana, have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks, Corey. You too.
Al Corland's firm, A.B. Corland & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corland Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Kiss your credit card debt goodbye. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to achieve financial peace, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
This is a warning to all household pests, to all cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, and rats. If you've made yourself at home in someone else's home, you'd better hope the owners never hear about Terminix. Because Terminix has the know-how and the means to do whatever it takes to remove you from that home. Terminix has 90 years of experience eliminating home invaders. And they make it easy for homeowners to be protected by offering a free pest estimate by calling 1-800-676-9879. Cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, rats, and other pests. This is your last chance. With one call, Terminix will remove you from the home you've invaded. If you think you can simply come back later, think again. Terminix will never stop working to keep you out with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Pests,
wherever you are, I will find you.
Pests, you've been warned. Homeowners are calling Terminix right now for a free pest estimate. 1-800-676-9879. 1-800-676-9879. 30-day money-back guarantee at participating locations. Limitations apply. See plan for details.
You have been lied to, generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Star Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror, and now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Pre-order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corland Economics Report.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are getting an update from Novo Resources. Novo is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol NVO and on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF. I have Quentin Henny on the line with me. Quentin is the president and chairman of Novo and well known to our audience. I wanted to follow up on a recent news release that came out March 13th that talked about share purchase warrants being exercised and also touched on the cash balance of the company. You guys are in a unique position here, Quentin, where you are out there spending money, continuing to explore your Karratha properties, but you're also getting warrants exercised and your cash balance is standing about the same. There was an interesting comment made by your CEO, Rob Humphreyson, that said cash expenditures of approximately 14 million Canadian have been incurred in the most fiscal year ended January 31st, 2018. And that's been more than offset by proceeds from warrant exercises of $15.8 million Canadian. This just goes to show how much, first of all, the stock has moved throughout this last year and even recently. But it has to be good, a nice feeling to have cash continuing to come in as you are continuing to explore on the projects.
Yeah, correct, Corey. It's actually a unique position. I've personally never been in a company where, you know, we continually see warrant exercises that give us, cash to continue our operations. Look, we have lots of cash. We have about $70 million in the bank right now. We did have some warrants that were expiring in earlier this month in March, that were all exercised. Eric Sprott was one of the bigger warrant holders. He did exercise. We're in a very good position to move Karratha forward. I would say, you know, of all the junior companies out there, we're truly blessed in that respect. We have the cash and ability to move the project forward.
I would agree with that. And a few questions that I've gotten that talk about the money that you're spending. You've done so many different, I guess, testing of how you can explore this project. At one point, you were talking about this large diameter drilling. That was going to be quite costly. You have since realized that, you know what, that's not the best way to explore here. You're going through some larger bulk sample processes. What is the budget or approximate spending that you're going to be doing in the coming months as you continue to explore?
Yeah, that's a good question. First of all, let me state our midterm objective. Over the next 4 or 5 months, say by the end of July, we anticipate collecting enough bulk samples, somewhere in the order of perhaps 50 or 60 bulk samples. Each one of these samples is roughly 5 tons. Some are a bit bigger, you know, up to 10 tons. And all of these samples will be treated through the processing plant, the test plant that we secured from SGS. It's located in Perth. This data that we collect from those will give us very valuable information, really our first, you know, solid information from large samples around grade. This is imperative. So our short to medium term goal is to determine if this data is of high enough quality that we can perhaps use it going forward for resource work. All right. So basically in the next 4 or 5 months, our objective is to bulk sample from surface, process those samples, but also do core drilling for geologic information. We're drilling diamond core to evaluate the geology, the thickness of the conglomerate units and so forth. And our goal is to look at the data around the end of July and see if it can take us in the direction of putting together a resource, perhaps an inferred resource. Now, that said, we also have work ongoing in the background around moving towards a trial mining phase. It's quite clear that regardless of whether we can put a resource together, we need to move towards a trial mining phase in this particular system. The conglomerate is quite coarse and nuggety. So the best way to move this forward will be trial mining. We are looking at all the aspects of permitting, converting the exploration license to a mining license, working with the native title party and so forth that we need to undertake to get to that phase. So we got a kind of a two-pronged approach. We're spending roughly perhaps just under 2 million a month over the next, we'll call it, rest of this fiscal year. So our fiscal year ends January 31st, 2019. You know, so I expect to go through, say, another, you know, call it on the order of 18 to 20 million between now and then. One thing I would ask people to keep in mind is that we do have quite a few more warrants that are well within the money. And I believe those bring in somewhere around another 20 million. So, you know, if we continue to do a good job and the project delivers the data that we think people will be pleased with, we anticipate seeing that money exercised. So, you know, hopefully we can basically tread water in terms of our cash balance over the next few months.
Okay, so cash-wise, really not an issue, but this two-pronged approach I find very interesting. One being still trying to figure out if you can put a resource around that, and to take note of that core drilling, it's just more so you have an understanding of potentially the consistency that you might be seeing that would tie into this bulk sampling that you're doing. Is that correct?
That's right. We've learned a lot in the past few months. And one of the things we're doing is we're going in and core drilling the areas that we plan to do some trenching and bulk sampling. We're core drilling on a fairly tight grid or tight fence of holes to give us the data we need so that when we get the bulk sample data back, you know, the grade data from the surface samples, we can project that from hole to hole to hole in the subsurface. You know, this is kind of like a diamond deposit in many respects. So, you know, core drilling, you know, a small diameter hole, like, even a 2.5-inch hole, the odds of hitting the nuggets are very hit or miss. And it's really geologic information that we're getting out of those core holes that allows us to project it into the subsurface. But the grade will come from those bulk samples at surface. And we expect to have some numbers to put in front of the market in, say, about a month's time.
Okay, so a month, that gives you and the market some time to look ahead, and I know anxiously await what that data might be. Just a quick follow-up question regarding some test mining and getting the permits around that. Is there more work that you have to go through in terms of getting permits? Because at that point, again, as you stand right now, you might not have a defined resource around this project?
Yes, that's a good question, and spot on with where our thinking is. If for some reason we decide we cannot put a resource to this deposit, we're going to have to go to a trial mining phase. So we've decided let's go ahead and make like we are going to trial mine. I think regardless of whether we can put a resource together or not, we will try our mind.
If anybody has any further questions for Quentin or his team, please feel free to comment or even better, email me at fleck@kereport.com. Quentin is always more than willing and happy to answer all the questions that come in.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am chatting with Mark Chandler. He is the Global Head of Currency Strategy at Brown Brothers Harriman. Mark and I talk on really a weekly basis to look ahead to what to expect in terms of currency moves, central bank moves, and general news events that could drive the markets. I wanted to bring Mark on this weekend show because he posted a very interesting article dealing with the U.S. trade balance and how it's deteriorating despite having record exports. In December, we saw the U.S. trade deficit swell to $53 billion, and that was a bit larger than expected, but again, considering that exports continue to increase, there's an imbalance here that I think many people aren't paying attention to. Mark, can you share some of your conclusions from this article?
Yeah, so here's the issue. Is right now we have, a president of the United States who seems to be very much focused on correcting the bilateral trade deficits the U.S. has with many countries, including Germany, but Europe as a whole, Japan, China, Mexico, Canada. And so I think that earlier this year, the U.S. has already put tariffs on washing machines, solar panels. We're waiting, still pending issues to be decided on steel, aluminum, which are cited on national security grounds, which means it could be a broader application. as well as intellectual property rights seems to be focused on China. And so it makes sense then, if the president is focused on the trade balance, that we should be as investors. And what we're seeing happening is that we have a good story and a bad story. The good story is the U.S. has now surpassed Saudi Arabia in producing oil. At the current pace, it looks like we can challenge Russia that's producing about 11 million barrels a day. U.S. is about 10.1 right now. Saudi Arabia just below 10 million barrels a day. So with net effect of this, of course, then, is that the U.S. energy trade balance has really improved. The U.S. has emerged not only on oil, gasoline, some of the other distillate products, a major exporter on the world stage. So while the energy balance is improving, we know that the overall trade balance is deteriorating. So that means that we're having a very sharp deterioration in the non-oil balance. And that is coming from two big sources. One is consumer goods, and the second, capital equipment. And partly what this reflects is that the U.S. economy is growing faster than many of our trading partners. And so what that means then is the U.S. is sucking in imports to fuel domestic demand while the world economy is growing well, and that's helping boost U.S. exports. But because the imbalance is so large, we need to see a much larger jump in U.S. exports if we're going to get the closing of the deficit, or we have a drop in imports. Drop in imports typically only happens in the U.S. when we go through a recession. So can the U.S. really, if the U.S. is going to correct the trade imbalance, can we really do so from the export side? And it doesn't look to me like we can. Here's why. The U.S. typically is not so focused on exporting. We have now McKinsey Global Institute. They do some interesting work, and you can find their stuff a lot of it free on the internet. But part of the problem here is that McKinsey did a report. They said that only 1% of U.S. companies are exported. 1%. So we have a very small export base. 1% of our companies export. But the bigger problem seems to be that we are using a very antiquated export platform. That is, McKinsey Global found that the average age of U.S. factories is about 25 years old. And our average equipment in those factories is about 9 years old. And so when you think about how fast technological progress is, we're using nine-year-old technology to compete with the Chinese, the Japanese, other countries who have stepped up their investment and are using state-of-the-art technology. And so McKinsey Global argues that we need to spend, the U.S. needs to spend about $115 billion a year for the next decade to really upgrade our manufacturing base. And I'm afraid that's not going to be forthcoming. On the other hand, the good news here is that the tax cuts, which include depreciation and expedited depreciation allowance, give companies a wherewithal and some incentives to really boost the investment. Whether we get it or not, it's a different story. But it tells me that we have a serious trade problem, and the part of the problem might be what other countries are doing with their practices. Like perhaps China is dumping solar panels in the U.S. Perhaps they are taking advantage in other ways of the openness of the U.S. economy. But there are things that we in the United States are our own worst enemy, and that is we have not really had a strong upgrade of our manufacturing capacity in the equipment. And the same thing is true in Canada. You know, one of the big challenges Canada has is that the productivity lags behind the U.S. Productivity growth lags behind the U.S. And that also requires then greater investment. And the problem is when the Canadian dollar is low, there's not much incentive to boost capital expenditures. But when the Canadian dollar is high and it can be afforded, when it's high, it's less affordable, even if it's more needed. And so I think that both Canada and the U.S. are sort of in the same kind of position that we need to boost our productivity. That requires investment. And yet businesses seem to be reluctant to invest.
So much of this does come down to private sector investing. As you were saying, we have old equipment, we have old factories, and by really increasing the energy exports, that's not helping the actual investment in manufacturing in the U.S. And all of this does have a drag on GDP, especially Q4 GDP. It's estimated that these exports drag down the GDP number by just over 1%. there are opportunities, obviously, if we can get some more investment in all of North America, Canada and the U.S. But, Mark, in terms of the plans for the Trump administration and the whole idea behind tax cuts helping investment in the U.S. by onshoring some of the money, I don't know if that's enough. It is still, as you said, almost too U.S. focused, isn't it?
Yeah, so what we know from companies is that there might be some increase in investment, but the bulk of the money from the tax break seems to be going to be to use to reward shareholders in the form of stock buybacks, debt buybacks, dividends, and maybe the kind of investment is merger, you know, basically buying another company, mergers and acquisitions, which are still cross-border M&A activity. It still looks pretty strong. So, yeah, so I'm concerned. But here's how we can get back into, like, what does this mean for the currency markets? So there's, generally speaking, there's two models of valuation for currencies. One is the one that I typically emphasize, and that is focused on policy, monetary fiscal policy, interest rate differentials, cost of money, that kind of incentive structure. The other major school of thought, if you will, has different measures of the external accounts. So why should the dollar fall? The dollar should fall because the U.S. has a large trade deficit and we need to have a weaker dollar to attract the money to finance it. And as the dollar falls, that'll also boost the price competitiveness of U.S. exports. That's the way the theory goes. Meanwhile, since I've been born, I don't think the U.S. has run a trade surplus, especially in manufactured goods. And so, but anyways, these are the two schools of thought. So right now, a lot of people who are bearish on the dollar say, look, Japan, current account surplus. China, current account surplus. Europe, current account surplus. U.S., current account deficit. Surplus countries should see appreciating currencies. That's the euro, that's the yen, that's the RMB. And the dollar, the current account deficit country, should see a weaker currency. So many people who focus on, say, the basic balance like that, look at the external accounts, would still see the widening of the U.S. trade deficit as dollar negative.
Absolutely, Mark. If the trade deficit continues to move in the direction that it's going, then the dollar could continue to be under pressure. It's quite the market for what we saw last year and the continued weakness in the U.S. dollar. You would think that that could actually help out the trade deficit with exports, but again, being so focused on energy exports is not the best for the country. Hopefully we do start to see some more capital spending. Mark, it's always great having you on the show. I appreciate our weekly comments, and I do appreciate your website, Mark to Market. Everybody, please check that out, and please stick around for the next segment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. Or call 253-678-1361. For hot and cold therapy, sunny-bay.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing it, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buy, sell, makeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Welcome back to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am joined by Joe Mazumdar. He is Brent Cook's partner over at Exploration Insights. I have a lot of time for what Joe and Brent both have to say on the markets, especially in terms of junior exploration and even some junior production companies. Joe, what we're going to do here is kind of recap the first month of 2018 and look ahead in a number of different metals. First and foremost, precious metals. Just recently, gold closed the month at the level not seen since back in middle of 2016 when it topped out. Again, it's not in breakout mode. Silver still relatively lagging gold, but trading in a tighter and tighter range. What is your assessment for the precious metals, gold and silver?
I think we're after the Vancouver Roundup conference, when I've listened to a few more analysts about different commodity sectors, we're probably a little bit more bullish on gold than we were. And the analyst there, Martin Muhrenfeld, was talking about leaning towards more of an optimistic scenario where he could see gold ending, you know, well over 1,400 and potentially at 1,500 before the end of the year. The big thing is the U.S. dollar, and it's on a long-term negative trend, and will that turn? Like right now, it's been positive now. Will that turn this year to continue on the long-term negative trend? And that's really what he's hinting at, that will go negative, and if that does, gold will benefit. And so, I mean, it doesn't really change if we convert now. Okay, how do we play this on the equity side? It doesn't really change our thesis right now with respect to gold in terms of how we play the gold market. We're still very much into explorers and prospect generators in the gold market, looking for assets that make sense at the reserve prices that majors are using, which are whatever, $1,100 to $1,200 per ounce. But we could look at potentially more leverage plays in that during 2018 if we could see it, but those would be more short-term trades.
Okay, let's look at another market, another established market, before we get into some of the new, hotter markets, and that is copper. I've had a number of commentators on the show that even point out that copper benefits from the shift to more energy metals or to more battery type of components. You still need copper to build out all that stuff. Copper is still holding nicely above $3. Overall, what is your assessment for copper in what has been a better market than the precious metals?
Yes, I mean, definitely the big thing about copper on the demand side is infrastructure, the growth in infrastructure, power, and now there's an added benefit of the more copper that's required with electrical vehicles. So if you want leverage to an electrical vehicle, that market expanding, copper is another way to play it. The issue that we probably have with the copper market is finding decent copper assets is difficult. Everyone's looking around for copper plays, and we're doing the same thing, and we're finding it difficult to find plays, especially on the exploration side for copper. So definitely the commodity we like, we just find it difficult to find plays that we like.
Do you find that too many copper stocks are more of an optionality play? They need an even higher copper price to really entice either a takeover or moving into production?
Well, the issue really is the grade, the overall grade of copper assets has been dropping. So like back in 2000, the average weighted ore grade for copper was about 0.75%. Now it's about 0.54. So just like gold, these deposits are getting older and lower grade. The problem is that can they find these other assets that that actually generate cash flow? And so what we find is a lot of these guys are playing more leverage plays, like you say. And that's, you know, that'll work in this kind of environment. But if if you could play the beta in copper, let's just say, in terms of copper producers, but basically watch the bottom line. But in terms of playing the alpha, which what we're trying to do with exploration, it's harder to find assets and exploration targets that make sense.
Okay. Yeah, copper, even in the stock sector, again, it's been kind of lagging. The stocks behind a better and improving copper price. Now let's talk about some of these more hotter sectors. First and foremost, let's talk about zinc. Last segment, I chatted a little bit about zinc with Giant Bhandari. It's a sector that has been moving up. We hear so much about the supply shortage that is coming on stream, and that's what's helping the stocks and the overall zinc price. And I think we're finally seeing some good management teams focus a bit more on zinc, but remember, it really was, or it used to be, just a byproduct in a lot of mines. What are your guys' thoughts on the zinc market?
Like, I'd say with zinc, it's less of an issue with byproducts than, let's say, cobalt or some of these other metals. Zinc, a lot of these deposits have lead zinc, like the sedimentary exhalative deposits or volcanogenic massive sulfide deposits. But zinc, you can find deposits that, it's a strong component of the overall asset. The issue with zinc is it tends to come up and down a lot with respect to the prices, and the cycle is very short. It's been building up for a while with respect to the cumulative deficit, such that the price has spiked. Now what we'll see going forward is some of these projects coming online. And the whole issue right now is if these projects all come on, the zinc price could come down in a year or two. But zinc and all these projects, development projects, tend never to meet expectations. So we don't see all these projects coming online. Like, I remember when I worked as a copper market analyst for Phelps Dodge, there'd be this project that would be coming on in 5 years every year. it would never stop coming in 5 years. It would just always be out there. So that's typical of a lot of these development projects. But I can see that in this buoyant zinc market that some of these guys will want to increase their zinc production from the mines that they have, and they'll want to add to it. So I can see a lot more capital investment. But whether this actually comes on in line and in time and at the capacity people think, I doubt it.
Now, how do you separate some of these new zinc companies from other companies that are just more playing the trend, ones that you think have more legs to them?
Well, I mean, it's more about, like, how do you want to play it? You can play a leverage play that's a producer in the zinc market, but just know that a lot of these projects come on, the zinc prices will come back. But if you play the alpha in terms of exploration, which is what we're trying to do, we're looking for projects that are potentially high-margin projects and also projects that might live through the cycle because they're so potentially big that they'll always be something on somebody's radar screen. We're not really looking for projects in copper or zinc, gold, any sector that somebody's looking for an asset that's marginal.
Okay, that's fair. I think always stay away from those marginal deposits and those companies that are promoting the fact that if, let's say, gold goes to 1500, look at how profitable their project is. It brings in a whole other variable that I think the investors should ignore. Let's talk about lithium. Lithium is another metal that is getting more and more attention. I even saw more and more lithium companies at the recent conferences in Vancouver. Where do you guys stand on this sector?
So we started buying, looking at the lithium sector, let's say, towards the latter part of last year, and we bought some lithium plays. And what we're looking for there as well is, you know, lithium is probably moving beyond being a beta play where you could play any stock that said lithium on it and it would go up. Now you have to actually look at the individual stocks and see if they actually make sense. You know, we've had this issue with SQM getting a longer lease on life than Salar de Atacama and being able to up their capacity. And so a lot of these lithium stocks have taken a pullback because now people are modeling a potentially a more balanced demand profile over the next 5 years or so if SQM can get the production that they're looking at in the new lease agreement and a lot of new projects don't come online. So in terms of playing lithium, yes, we're interested in that for leverage to the electric vehicle market. But again, you have to look very stock specific with respect to what makes sense, what works, and what could potentially be acquired. And it's different from brine and hard rock. And you have to look at individual companies. So again, lithium has gone from being this beta play on anything that says lithium to now being a stock picker again.
Great comments as always, Joe. Unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment and the first hour, but I hope everybody enjoys the second hour. I'm going to throw it over to Al.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Healthcare reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.